The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left. Behind the quarterback.
Oh, now, yeah.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh,
listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy.
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I liked them, too!
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now, please.
Yes.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
The real off season is finally here. No mini camps, no practices, no games, no press conferences, no player interviews, no nothing.
No energy.
Until 1 month from today. There's not even any Fred Kirsch.
Nope.
This week.
So you just summer of Fred.
Yeah, you're just left with me, Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart.
Briefly.
Kevin is behind the glass. What do you mean briefly?
I gotta go.
When are you leaving?
12:30-ish.
Why?
I got a thing.
Wow. Just leaving us flat.
He's got real radio.
You're damn Skippy.
Oh, I see how it is.
What's the name of your show going to be? You know, Kevin and I are like the AK-47
That's
show.
That's the first time I saw that Ortiz play that he was bitching about the official score. That was an error. Did you see that?
No.
They described it like he was sprawling, like Joe Maurer was sprawling all over the place. I asked if he had seen the play.
I'm kidding, Paul.
Not if he had seen the replay. But everybody described that Joe Maurer was sprawling all over the place. He didn't have to. The ball was hit right at him. He had to take like a half a step to his right. That was an error.
I didn't see it.
Not that it matters. You still shouldn't be acting like
it doesn't matter.
So we're here, guys.
I think you guys should go by the bald boobs.
The bald boobs?
Yeah. The two-man shows need like a name.
What about like the two paisans?
Hey, yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad. Hey, there's Dante Stallworth.
Boy, this show is terrible.
Yeah. Well, it's the off season, so
we got Paul saying, "You see that or he's like, hey, Dante Stallworth."
There's
Gronk is targeting Week One to play.
Yeah, tell us something we didn't know.
Well, I didn't. I'm not actually telling you.
No, I know.
I'm reporting on the report that told you that on the NFL Network.
Yeah,
Bert Breer.
What? So why is that? How did that become a newsworthy item yesterday?
Because as you just said, it's the off season and there's not much going on.
But I mean, are they citing any sort of?
No, just that he's on target. Could possibly be ready for training camp, but they're not going to do anything that would risk the ultimate goal of having him ready for week
for the
one.
Opener. Okay, Paul.
Are
you underwhelmed?
I think. Well, yes. But I think Andy just said everything there needs to. I mean. I think it's pretty obvious that guys that get hurt in the previous season probably hope to be back by week one of the next season, and I would put that in this category.
You know, plus, according to the Globe, he's bursting and exploding.
Much like Wes Welker and Philip Rivers and Adrian Peterson.
Well, both. Now he's doing a lot more bursting and exploding off the field than on the field.
So, I think that it's obvious to me that you would target week one. There's no need to have him ready for the preseason. There's no need to make sure he's out there on day one of training camp. If he is ready for any of those things, then that's great.
Yeah.
But I don't really concern myself with that. But I would hope that he would be ready by week one.
And so we don't need other tight ends. That's why they don't have any.
I expect him to be ready for by week one. And sort of we've been talking about this for a while. It's not really uncommon anymore. Now,
no.
You know, and Bill Belichick talked
but
about
Paul,
this at the draft.
What's the real question? Rob Gronkowski can target week one.
But will Gronk be out there?
But when will Gronk target a return?
Is it 12:30 yet? But, you know, I thought it was interesting when Belichick talked about this with regard to Dominique Easley, who, by the way, has signed. The last remaining Patriots draft pick is all signed, sealed, and delivered.
I do my own
drop-ins
because, you know.
Because he's taken the
He now thinks he has an excuse because we can't use music, quote unquote, that he doesn't have to do anything.
I need to hear more about that.
What did I miss while I was gone?
A lot. Speaking of that. Fred Astaire.
What are you talking about? Music that you,
Fred Astaire. Let's wait. It'll be better when Fred's here.
But I can't believe Fred's not. Yeah, that's terrible.
He did say his line yesterday, Paul? When I first came in back into the office, he said about the women in Eastern or Central Europe.
Oh yeah, because I had said, you know, we were asking Eric how his trip was, and I just said, was it cloudy every day? It just strikes me as being very gray over there in Eastern Europe. It's just gray all the time. And Fred goes, were the women wearing scarves on their head and lined up with the bread line?
Ladling soup into a...
As tanks drove by.
And the answer is no. The weather was absolutely delightful. Perfect
And before
weather.
I get attacked by our good friends in Eastern Europe, it was a joke.
Do we have any good friends in Eastern Europe? We do. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I met up with 3 Patriots fans from Hungary. While I was there, who are in charge of the Hungarian Pats fans website, and one of whom has been accredited at a few games the last couple of years, and is going to be at the Colts game this year. So,
really?
Yeah.
Hungarian news agency?
Well, no, they have their own little web page that they
These new headphones are crystal clear.
I know, I love them.
I like the headphones.
I really do.
No more fuzz in my ear.
Now I just need a jack.
This is phenomenal. That word.
Phenomenal.
Your jack will be back shortly.
Nice.
Why, your jack's off?
Oh, for
well, we took it out to get it worked on.
Somebody's working on your jack because it was off.
Hey, you can see the screws are right over there.
You're screwing your jack.
Or they were over there.
These are the kind of things you can't really say on the other radio show you're going on later, right?
No, probably not.
Probably not.
Although they do want to talk Gronk, you know. Story of the day in Boston sports, according to...
Story of the day.
The conference call I was on earlier.
Listen...
Have poo-pooed it.
I don't want to poo-poo it, but I just think that nowadays, you know, and Belichick, I keep trying to tell this story, but he sort of talked about it with regard to Dominique Easley, that the ACL injury is not a career ender anymore. It's not really a career interrupter anymore.
Hasn't been a career ender in like 25 years.
You might lose some of your explosiveness and you know, some of the things that you have physically.
So what happened when I was gone?
But I would expect him to be on the field pretty close to week one, if not week one. I am expecting him in week one.
And fans don't even want him. That's the problem. They want him in week 17.
Well, Eric wants him to take the whole year off.
Well, Eric's
he wants
an idiot.
Him week one of 2015.
I want him absolutely healthy. That's all.
He's going to be absolutely healthy. He may not be absolutely 100% physically capable, but he'll be healthy. The limitations won't be due to the knee. They'll be due to the time off and the muscle return and the fluidity return.
I want Gronk. I don't want Rob Gronkowski.
But the problem is you've got to take Rob Gronkowski for a little bit and allow him to work his way back to Gronk.
Do you think he was at Gronk at any point last year when he was on the field?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't take because he wasn't on the field that long.
No.
And it didn't take him that long to get from
almost 600 yards receiving in 7 games.
Yeah.
He was Gronk. The numbers certainly would say he was Gronk, and my eyes said, it looks like Gronk.
I almost thought he was Gronk at the end of the first game against the Jets.
I agree.
He
was
jumped
close.
Up for that catch.
Oh,
that
he was close
to being Gronk the very first game.
Yeah.
But
well,
I mean, you looked at him saying that Houston game, making that catch down around his shoe tops.
Yeah.
I mean, like Andy said, how many times you just see them just say, we're throwing the ball to Gronk on this play, and he's open.
Yeah.
You know? Doesn't matter if he's like bursting into the clear, he's going to find a way to make the catch.
Webradio@patriots.com, I should mention, is our email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. I've forgotten the number since I've been gone. 855-PATS-500. What are you laughing at now?
NFL Network has second down. question.
Yeah.
More important to Patriots offense, Julian Edelman or Rob Gronkowski?
Oh, my God.
We're gonna throw that out there to our web radio.
You are right, Eric. It's the off season where apparently anything flies as talk.
You can chime in because I'm curious to see if we will get anybody that would
that will say Edelman.
Julian on line
Edelman.
One.
he's actually on NFL Network.
Because
right
that's
now.
The only part. I mean, maybe Mr. and Mrs. Edelman, his family, but other than that, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, we wouldn't put that on Debate Friday on Patriots.com.
I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable with making somebody argue.
I mean, it's asinine.
Well, I can only assume that they're putting Edelman now in Wes Welker territory.
I don't care where they put Edelman. They can't put him in Rob Gronkowski territory.
That's how they're categorizing. Well, but
it's asinine.
But when Welker was here, I think there were people who made an argument that Wes Welker was one of the most integral parts of the offense.
Sure.
So I don't think it was totally out of the question for at that point. When Welker
I think it would be ridiculously out of the question if Welker at his best in Gronkowski. So you can know how much more I thought of Welker than Edelman.
The only name I think you can put there is Thomas Brady. Otherwise, I think it's a stupid question.
I mean, generally we preface those questions with aside from Gronkowski or aside from Revis, aside from Brady.
Now that I think is a legitimate question. Who's more important, Revis or Gronkowski? Put those two on par.
I'm not willing to say Revis yet because I haven't seen it yet.
I'm assuming. But those are elite players. Those are transformational, Fred likes to say.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the offense transform with Gronk, and the expectation is the defense is going to transform. I saw today another person doing a rankings of the cornerback duos or something and put the Patriots at number two in the NFL for the best combo of cornerbacks.
Really? Who did they have as the number two corner, just out of curiosity?
Browner. Oh, it's okay. Browner and Revis.
Browner and Revis. That's not a bad question, though, to ponder. Who's more important, Gronk or Revis?
Yeah.
To either side of the ball.
I would go Gronk. I think offensively they could be in trouble without Gronk.
I still
Gronk.
Would, too. Yeah.
I think there are a lot of limitations on this offense when Gronk's not on the field.
If Revis is what he was, then I would say Revis, only because I agree with you, the offense becomes a different offense, but they'll still find a way to score enough points to win games if the defense can be that much better.
I'm not so sure of that anymore.
I thought they did it last year. There was long stretches of time where it wasn't 35 points every game.
No,
they were still finding a way to win, and
right.
I think they'll still find
As
a way
you
to
say,
win.
Against teams whose quarterbacks are now out of football.
You've
got to find a way to win in January and February, son. It's about titles.
Is it
12:30? We're halfway there, Paul. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
Yes, I have no
absolute
problem.
Absolute violent agreement on the last part.
They can beat maybe Tannehill or whatever in September.
I think in the regular season you can go 12-4.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Don't mean a thing
right.
if you ain't got that ring.
That's very true. All right. So we've got the sort of Gronkish news.
Huge news. As Tom Karn said, shouldn't everybody be targeting week one?
No. He's right. I mean, Paul said it a few minutes ago,
but
too.
But, I mean, just think about just in the recent past.
I mean, Armin Armstead, we haven't seen in 2 years. I bet you he's targeting week one.
Philip Rivers, Adrian Peterson,
right.
Wes Welker, all guys that got hurt from December on.
Yeah.
In Rivers' case, in January.
Yeah.
Well,
and we're all back in week one.
If you do a deeper dive, as Fred likes to say, now you have the question, are we going to get Gronkowski like Welker, who wasn't the same, or are we going to get Adrian Peterson, who just went out and had a phenomenal year? Now you have a legitimate topic of debate or news or whatever. But, week one, wow, great.
Well, I fully anticipate seeing him in week one. And
heck, we saw him in the hallway on the way down here.
I think even if he is not quite as dominant as we've come to know him, he's still going to be pretty productive.
Well, he's still going to be the most important player on the offense, not named Tom Brady.
Exactly.
Sorry to Julian Edelman. I don't mean to offend
and
him.
And all our friends at NFL Network who evidently think it's a debate.
I don't really care about our friends at NFL Network. They stopped calling us a year and a half ago, Paul.
Well, we have that topic on the table.
Right?
Paul mentioned that Easley is signed yesterday officially, and you guys saw him at the last
Oh, he looked
practice,
explosive.
Right? He was explosive. Suited up.
Bursting and exploding.
That was when? Last Thursday? Or Friday?
Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday.
Inside the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse. There's a hyphen in there.
So you talked about it plenty, I assume, on that ensuing show.
All
okay.
Right. Everybody pointing to TVs.
Now we have somebody pointing out TV who's not even on the show to audibilize it.
What else? Has there been any other news since the last show, since the last practice?
Other than... Oh, yeah. We signed Chris Martin.
The heck was
Coldplay?
That?
I don't believe so.
Huh.
I believe he's an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I know. I'm
undrafted out of Central or Southern or Eastern or Northern Florida or something. One of those Florida schools.
Okay, you got that all taken care of.
And as we said, 1 month from today, Patriots training camp opens.
Is that true?
Yeah, the 24th.
Yes. July 24th. The first four dates
Which
were
is a Thursday.
Announced. Is that correct? 24th,
25th, 6th, and 7th. That first
That's
full
Thursday
weekend.
Through Sunday.
9:15 a.m. according to the...
all 4 days, correct?
All 4 days,
9:15 a.m.
And they also
and
announced...
be practicing once, you know, with the new rules. Yeah, mm-hmm. just to refresh
PFW everybody. Has announced Paul will apparently not be taking part in the early part of practice every day. Yeah. He'll stroll in around 10.
There was also in that announcement...
I won't have any drop-off, though, so it'll be all right.
In that announcement, the joint practices with the Eagles, which will be like the third week of camp, I guess, 2 o'clock.
Yes. Apparently Chip must like afternoon affairs.
No, I'm trying to think. Last year in Philly, I think they were late morning.
I don't know. I wasn't
practices, there. But that's a little bit of a change from
sure.
what we've been used to in training camp. Sure. So, if you're planning on coming down for,
is it a change? What did we have last year? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was mostly morning practices, and then you know like maybe late morning sometimes.
Well,
but,
so it was later.
Yeah, I think so, but not 2 in the afternoon.
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, that's
departure.
Just, that's just for the Eagles, though. I don't think they're going to have any other.
Me.
Do you think?
Yeah, no.
But after that,
no,
there's
yeah.
no. Well, there was nothing scheduled anyway.
Right.
As far as we know. So if you're planning on coming down for Patriots training camp, that's what we know so far. And of course, that second week, there hasn't been any announcement yet. And if you're in the Virginia area, the week leading up, that first week of August, the Patriots will be playing down in Richmond against the Redskins for a couple of days before their preseason opener in FedEx Field.
And Paul Perillo will be signing autographs 7 p.m. Tuesday night at the Tobacco Company.
What?
No, the Village Cafe.
I thought it was the Tobacco Company.
Where's the Tobacco
Company? Some great place that everybody keeps bringing up.
What are you doing now? What's this for?
I'll be at the Village Cafe. You guys can go to the Tobacco Company.
Even better, Paul will be signing autographs at the Village Cafe. I'll be at the Tobacco Company, ignoring you.
Where behind is the, red velvet ropes.
Where is all this?
Richmond.
Oh, is that that's your little place that you
lose
normally frequent?
Loser
little.
Yeah. Okay. But you guys aren't.
It is a very little place.
Are
you guys
where he
going?
Sucks down everything you can order.
You guys are going?
For practice, yeah. Then we come back.
Oh, and they're coming back to do the game.
Correct.
I got you.
We're talking about practice. Not the game, mind you.
Gotcha.
No, not the game. We're going for practice.
I had to explain that to Will last night. Because I was talking to the other guy. We had baseball practice last night. I was talking to the other guy, the coach, and he said practice. I said practice. Mm. And we both at the same time said, we're talking about practice. And we both laughed. And then we left. And Will goes, what is all that? And I had to explain to him the whole Allen Iverson thing.
Not a game. Practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. But we talking about practice, man.
So I said that whole story to him. And then I said, and then afterwards, Larry Brown said to him, you know, let's just put it this way. He said the word practice more times than he's actually been
practice.
To practice this year.
Well, okay. We've got our first email from Doesn't Say Where.
Big laughs. Big laughs in the 9 year old community,
show.
By the way. Sure.
This is Reno. He's not from Reno.
I was going to say, you sure it's not from Reno?
That's his name. It says, what I would do, if Gronk can fully participate in training camp, is to let him. But don't let him play in the first 3 preseason games. I'd let him play in the last one so he can somewhat get back to live gameplay and not just practice before week 1 in the regular season. I'd also like to see Browner play longer in the preseason games than most starters, considering we won't have him at all in September. Do you all agree?
Well, that's an interesting debate topic that actually came up in our TV
pre-production
meeting.
I think the Browner one is interesting.
How do you deploy Browner and give him reps and snaps, balancing getting him ready, and he may in fact be your theoretical number 2 corner with he's not going to be on the field for 4 weeks, and you got to get the other guys ready, and I think that's an interesting balance.
I agree. I would like to see him play as much as he can because I want to see where he fits, what he can do.
But then you're giving him all the reps with Revis and McCourty and Harmon, and all of a sudden in week 1, some guy who's been playing with Nate Ebner is lining up next to Devin McCourty.
Right, but then...
We're making more of this than you know.
Yeah.
Because they rotate a lot of people.
Maybe.
So
no, but I do think that you're right, Andy. I think the Browner one is interesting. Matt Chatham, our buddy,
you should ask Bill. That might get a good question, Paul.
At our TV, TV production meetings, and I'm not sure he wants no part of Andy and I.
Really?
Right.
But I think it's...
He also wants no part of the team going forward on fourth down. He'll think it's a fake punt.
It's a tough one. I don't know why he's talking on it. Sorry, with his mouth. The Gronkowski one...
Just in case
one,
he's listening, then I can say, that wasn't me. Did you hear the voice?
That's the Gronkowski one I don't think is as much of an issue. I do not have any urgency whatsoever for him to play in the preseason. I don't need him to play in the preseason. He's a veteran that I already saw him step onto the field without doing anything for twice as long last year and be pretty close to his normal self in those seven games.
Plus the fourth preseason game? That's when all the Jags play.
Do you feel differently?
He's catching passes from Jimmy Garoppolo.
Can we get into an argument Ryan about Mount, that? Do you feel like he needs to,
no.
to get his timing no. down? Or you know, I saw
Knock
Randy
the
Moss,
rust off.
I saw Randy Moss skip an entire preseason and then go out and set an NFL record with 23 touchdown catches in 07. I think when you're veterans of a certain ability and you're not worried about picking up a system, I don't really think that it's
Logan Mankins.
It's all that important. I don't need that to happen at all for Gronk. But the Browner thing, I do think there's two ways of looking at it, and Andy talked about them, and I'm not sure which one is right.
You balance.
I think you probably try to find a balance because you do need to get the communication and stuff down with the guys that are going to be playing in those first 4 weeks, but you also need to get his communication down, and you don't want him basically going 8 weeks without playing if you're not playing with the starters in those four preseason games and then sitting out 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Even adding to the issue is the unknown status of Alphonso Dennard, not just because of his injury, but
because of his
if he has anything else coming on after that.
Issues. Right. But did I miss something bad with you, Paul? While I was gone, Christian writes in, Eric,
with
welcome
me?
Back from Chris with a TIAN.
I'm getting really old because now I'm forgetting things.
Eric, welcome back from your vacation. Hope it went well. It did. Thank you. Paul, welcome back from death's door. I'm glad your Diet Pepsi carbonated blood vessels were normal.
Oh, I had a physical last week.
Oh.
So they played taps on my way out. I had to leave the show before the show was over.
It was very funny.
Yeah, I haven't gotten my blood work back as of yet, but... It was okay. I actually lost weight, and I hadn't had a physical in 4 years. I lost 6 pounds since my last physical.
Your last physical was how long ago?
4 years ago.
Oh.
I had a colonoscopy.
Wow. So 3 pounds was hair. The other 3 pounds was that scale's wrong.
Yeah, because I had so much hair that, it was 3 pounds.
You used to have more hair.
not 4 years ago.
Really? Wow.
No.
Did you clean out the lint from your belly button, maybe?
Kevin likes that one.
Did you get lunch yet?
Still
no Pepsis, though.
No, I'm working on that. But I laugh because I always have like a pound of lint in my belly button, too. I had to go fishing for it every morning.
Oh, didn't need to know that. Haynes in Houston writes in with a game.
Ooh, we need a game because the show is struggling.
Unfortunately,
the show is not fun.
Unfortunately, we know that injuries are a big part of the NFL.
Nah.
And winning teams are able to compensate after losing key players.
I know all about compensating.
Based on the current 90-man roster, pick a player from each of the following pairs whose loss for 2014 would hurt the team more.
Okay, go.
He's got five of them.
Bigger loss.
Yeah. Devin McCourty or Chandler Jones?
Chandler Jones.
I would say Jones as well.
Yeah, I'll go with Jones.
Even though the safety position is weak.
Yeah, it's already a weakness.
It's already a weakness.
We're hoping to have some pass rush this year.
If you don't
Jones
have Jones,
is ahead of that.
Yeah.
You can make the argument that, the pass rush is the pass rush with or without Jones.
See, I would make the argument that the safety position is the safety position with or without
McCourty. Yeah.
I went with Jones.
The pass rush, I have fears of Jake Beckett playing or Michael Buchanan playing.
Well, he has to make the team.
Well, Will Smith.
Will Smith's fine, and he did say he wants to play the right side.
Will Smith.
Okay, second one. Aaron Dobson... or Shane Vereen?
Aaron Dobson.
Loss would hurt the team more. I would almost
say
Vereen.
Shane Vereen. I'm going to go Vereen there.
I'm with you, Paul, because...
I got to see it from Dobson. And I know that we haven't seen it for long stretches from Vereen, but I have to see it from Dobson before I put him in that category.
Yeah, and I think the wide receivers
are still... I just think the
team
has played so much without Vereen and... They fill in that role.
Well, they played a whole year last year without outside receivers.
Yeah, that's kind of my point.
And they sucked when Gronk wasn't out there.
True.
Yeah, but is Gronk? I'm assuming Gronk might.
Right. Yeah.
But so is Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I listened to Pac-Man Jones. He says the numbers are similar. If this were like the sabermetrics or whatever, Bill James, we would be projecting Aaron Dobson to have an Alshon Jeffrey like explosion.
Wow. He needs to get healthy first.
That's true. It's hard to run down the field with a boot on your
yes,
foot.
Yes, it is.
All peg-legged option again.
All right, third one. Logan Mankins or Seabass?
I think Seabass would hurt more.
I'll go Logan Mankins.
But I don't think either one of them, you know my feelings on offensive linemen. Just plug another guy in.
Yeah.
And you don't have to stop there. And running backs, and defensive linemen, and linebackers.
I would go with Seabass.
Four-on-four football with Paul Perillo.
I don't like...
Don't put all linebackers in that category. I'm not willing... Notice I didn't argue with anything else you said.
I'm going to go Seabass.
I'm going Mankins.
Because I don't like...
I think tackles are more important than guys.
Yeah, but we play without Seabass all the time.
Tis true.
Cannon was fine.
Well, but when we didn't play with Logan, we had the rookie. What was his name? Josh Klein?
Yeah, I'm inclined to say that if he plays an extended period, it won't be good.
Mankins was still playing. He moved over to left tackle, I believe.
Correct. Although this flies in the face of my recent belief that I think the interior line is one of the deepest spots on the team.
One of the deepest?
Well, they have a lot of names. I don't know if they have a lot of talent. Stork and Jalapio are considered to have provided a lot of depth there, right?
Are you ever going to say that
right?
name?
I don't know if they're anything
along
yet.
With Conley and Wendell and Klein.
Those are the starters. Conley and Wendell are the incumbents.
I don't have Wendell starters.
I won't call it starters. I'll call them incumbents.
Yep.
Okay?
Okay.
I don't know if Stork and Jalapio are worthy of displacing those guys.
A lot of
people say, I read one thing, and I would call him out, as you know, if I could remember where I read it. Said he's a lock. Jalapio, sixth-round pick, based on his draft status, is a lock. Sorry.
Yeah.
Six-round picks. I can give you offensive linemen like Clint Oldenburg and Corey Hilliard and others that were drafted late in the draft that didn't make this team.
Ted Larson.
I don't think you're a lock if you're a sixth-round pick as an offensive lineman.
Okay.
So he might be able to play.
Who are you yelling at?
I guess I'm sort of disputing your...
Just make a name up.
Deep.
It's very
interior.
Deep.
I think they have a lot of names in there. I don't know if they can play.
Well, they got a lot of names everywhere. They got 90 men on the roster.
Is Brian Stork better than Chris Barker?
We don't know.
Yes.
Yet.
I don't. How do you know that?
Because he is.
But how do you know that?
Because he is.
The other guy obviously did enough to stick around last year.
That's because Stork wasn't here.
Okay, we'll see if Stork
bigger,
is here
more
this
proven.
Year.
He's got the Remington Trophy.
Do you understand what I'm talking
yes,
about?
Yes, I do, Paul.
I don't.
How about Jalapio, who supposedly had a terrible year last year?
Did
but
he? Oh, he was battling injuries. Try playing without a pec. Isn't that what it was?
I think it was torn triceps. But
oh, well, you try playing without a torn tricep.
Listen, you don't have to explain it to me. I wrote his draft
actually,
profile.
You've been living without
all the buzz.
You've been living without a pec and a tricep your whole life.
And I just talk like this when I think I'm making a joke.
All right,
seriously.
Fourth one.
Seriously.
Jamie Collins.
12:28. Don't you have to go?
I don't get this one
I'm
as
leaving.
Much. Jamie Collins or Steven Gostkowski? I'm going to go with Collins.
I'm going to go with Collins.
Yeah, absolutely. Collins.
No offense, Steven. I love you.
Yeah.
You're a
solid kicker, a weapon on kickoffs, everything, but you're a kicker.
Everything Andy just said, and then I'll say the difference between him and just a regular run-of-the-mill jag is negligible in that league. All the kickers are good. The best and the worst are not separated by that by very much.
And his last one, Tavon Wilson or Jake Beckett? Just kidding, he says. Mm. Not bad, James. Haynes from Houston.
Not bad, James. Haynes.
Underwear. Tag.
No, tag less.
Correct. WebRadioPatriots.com, 508-298-0398.
I dare say the show's going to be a debacle for an hour and a half.
Well, it already has been.
You're making me
fall asleep. It has been. It certainly has been for a half hour.
We don't
already.
Have any energy. It's one. It's those.
You should.
It's that off season.
You got to make the energy. Sometimes you just got to create it. You know, when you go on the road against a bad team, you can't rely on anything but yourself to get pumped up.
Yeah, but those guys get paid a lot to do that. We don't.
So, you should have some inner motivation that simply wants you to strive to be the best.
Hell, we're on the big screen right now. Give me a chest bump.
Thanks, Gronk.
That guy always has energy.
Yeah. Well.
That's why I brought you here.
Thanks, Al.
That's why I brought you. Okay?
I'm good. I'll be good.
He also has a lot of other stuff that you don't have.
Right.
Sex.
Height, hair, that. Yeah, right.
That's all
money.
I have to say about that.
Just real quick before Fred asks you, we'll go, yes or no answer?
No.
Okay.
I mean, come on. Don't be silly.
Well, I don't know.
Why? It's not like you would have told us.
Yes, he would have. We would have known. He wouldn't have been the miserable prick that he's been for the last 6 years.
No, I meant on the trip. It's not like he would got back from the trip and said, oh, hey, guess what?
No, I think we would have noticed. No. Although the tour guide kept reminding us
that you had been
that prostitution was legal?
Was legal in Austria and the Czech Republic.
Did you ask any questions?
No, I didn't.
Oh, what is that? Have to ask questions.
Like, what's your question?
Like, how much? Like, you know, what is the variance between like a high end or a shady? Like, how does it all work?
Talking.
You would have asked these questions.
Yes, no doubt about. Yes, I would have. You want to bet?
I think he would have.
I wouldn't have asked it first. If he had brought it up, I most definitely would have asked questions.
He brought it up every time.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
That's opening the door. Want to make $5 the hard way?
See, if it's only $5 in Hungarian whatevers.
Forints, they're called.
They call them forints?
Forints, F-O-R-I-N-T, forint. That's the name of the currency.
I thought it was forints. I was like,
no, not forints.
For your home currency to be foreign.
I will say this, though. The Czech women were very beautiful.
Did you check them out?
As advertised. Yes. A couple of times.
So weak.
What?
Did you check them out?
Check it out. Check it out.
I obviously thought about you guys when that topic came up. The other time I did, I was telling Paul this yesterday, was when we were in Vienna.
Seen the sausages?
Do you have any fingers?
No. There was
a week.
Apparently they host this
hot dogs
enormous,
and sausages.
Like Europe-wide gay pride parade.
Oh, nice.
In
you
Vienna.
Were there?
And we were there for it. So we were coming at...
Coincidence. I had no idea.
Now here's the funny thing. We were coming back from our... There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. A walking tour of the city. And we were all heading back to our hotel. And the guy told us ahead of time, there's going to be this, you know, gay pride parade in the city today. So we might have a little trouble getting back because it's taking up the whole, what's called the Ringstrasse, this big street that circles the city. We were on the opposite side of the street from where we needed to be. The only way we could get back to our hotel
was through the back door.
Was actually to walk through the gay pride parade.
Oh.
So at one point we're like, well, we have no choice. We have to go through here because it was literally like 2 miles long.
They don't have cooties, you know.
But no, our fear was, I said, as soon as we go through this thing, it's going to be just our luck. We're going to be pictured on the front page of the paper the next day, and it's going to get back to the U.S., and Andy's going to see a picture of it.
That would have been phenomenal.
But it didn't happen. But we just ran right through. And
what about your dancing? Are you going to talk about your
Freda.
Dancing?
What do you want to know?
Stare.
What do you want to know?
How'd she smell?
Lovely.
Well, you were very close. Very, you know.
She was lovely. She was really delightful.
Now, was it a natural scent or a perfume?
It seemed like a natural scent.
Oh, yeah. The pheromones?
I had a little trouble
getting it up.
No. No, just the opposite, actually. She looked a lot like... Yeah.
Well, the opposite of that would be, I'm sorry, I'm done. Give me a couple minutes. It's the pleats.
Yes, right. I was a little upset.
I spilled tea on my pants. Sorry.
We certainly were underdressed for the occasion because we were told we're going to go on a walking tour of the city, so dress comfortably. And it was warm out, so we had shorts and sneakers and whatnot. And there was a little bit of time we could have gone back to the hotel and changed because, you know, you go into a nice, respectable place, you want to dress up a little bit. But we didn't, so I ended up being there in shorts and
sneakers. Yeah, you did look a little ridiculous.
It was, and that's the only part of it.
You looked a little Fred Kirsch.
Kind of regret, yeah. But we all were dressed like that, which was
sad. Yeah, I only saw a picture of you on the internet.
Well, yeah, but what could I do?
Yeah, she was cute.
She was. She actually looked a lot like my first girlfriend. So it was a little tough to
keep it in your pants.
Keep the composure a little bit.
She the same age?
At the time, yes. But no, it was a good time. Very good time.
Good.
All around. So
didn't get thrown in a Budapestian prison?
No. Not at all. It's actually the Turkish prisons that I think are the known for the really
Hungary.
Yeah.
Did you see anybody doing Hungarian deadlifts?
You ever been in a Turkish prison?
Yes, on every street corner there were people lifting weights, just
one
tossing
of the most
them around.
Common things I know about Hungary: Hungarian deadlifts.
It's not like the ESPN Strongest Man competitions with Magnus von Magnus.
Yes, right. I used to get so into those. I mean, the types of competitions they would come up with, I thought were hilarious. Like when
to pick up the big balls.
They'd have like a barrel that they'd have to throw like up over their head.
Oh, I always liked that.
You know,
looked like a good way to get killed.
Really tough. Which would have been because
if you don't get the trajectory right, it's coming straight back down on you.
Oh yeah.
Which would have been
a good story. Great story.
There you go.
Really?
Did you have any chances for a great story? Imagine if you had been trampled by a gay pride parade. Now that would have been a great story. Tragedy struck Budapest today.
It was in Vienna.
Vienna
that
today.
That part was in Vienna.
Oh, the gay
pride
parade.
Was in Vienna, yeah.
How big was it?
Vienna or the gay pride parade?
The gay pride parade. Was it like
ridiculous,
massive?
Ridiculously big. Yeah.
And how flamboyant was it?
Over
ridiculous.
The top.
Ridiculous.
Like chaps.
It really was.
Chaps and stuff.
All
and like,
yes,
you know. There were guys... There were guys in like the tightest, smallest Speedos,
oh, nice.
And nothing else.
Oh, nice.
There was
we're getting to the Vienna. We're getting to the Vienna sausages.
there was a guy dressed up in a woman's one piece bikini with a you know the stuffed
I don't
bra
think there's
and everything.
Such thing as a one piece bikini.
Well, a one piece bathing suit, okay. Whatever. You're right. Yeah, sorry,
that didn't make sense.
And he had
it was in a two piece one piece.
Tank.
Well, he had long dark hair. Which he had, you know, made up like a woman with like a little bob or whatever. But he had
oh, he bobs all
thick,
right.
Dark hair and a beard. So it was the nastiest, like if you just saw from behind, you might have thought, oh, kind of nice. Then turns around and you've got, it's just disgusting.
That lady's got a nice head. Whoa!
Yeah.
Look at the beard on that one.
There was a float with just all lesbians.
Oh, nice.
And there were some very nice-looking ones on there.
Some lipstick lesbians?
Very nice-looking ones there, nice. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of rainbow-themed floats.
Right.
And there was, like, I'm trying to think. There was one float that was, like, a Bacardi, sponsored by, like, mm-hmm. Bacardi. And it had a DJ on it. And there were just a bunch of really flamboyant guys on that one. And a few girls. There was some where it was, like, mixed. But... Overall, I mean, there were like these giant, like flatbed trucks that were converted into float type things. So there'd be one of those every few feet, and then in between there were people marching. So there were people on floats and people marching, and it went on for at least an hour, and it just kept going around the Ringstrasse. Went on forever.
Ringstrasse, Paul.
That's the main drag.
It's a massive draw. Ringstrasse.
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I gotta go.
You're out of here?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Where's Kevin? Is he not in the booth?
Yeah, we don't need to take a break until we get my pizza.
Maybe that's where he went to go.
Yeah.
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 So you can catch Andy, by the way, if you
yeah, where's he going now?
He's going to EEI a little. So after our show, it ends.
Yes.
At 2.
That one
you'll
begins.
Hear him over on EEI. I'm not sure why he had to leave so early, but. You know, that's me. I like to get there at the last minute.
Yeah, plus you don't like to miss this show.
Well, no, I don't.
As little of it as you can.
I don't. I just barely made my doctor's appointment last week because I left a little later than I thought.
And everything checked out all right?
Well, I didn't get my blood work back.
Other than that, though.
Yeah, it went very much as I predicted to the boys before I left. And this is the first time I had seen this particular doctor. I have a new primary because my old one changed the kind of care that she was given, not to bore anybody, but she went into a different kind of practice. So I had to find a new primary care physician, and that's part of the reason why it's been so long since I've had a physical. It's been a couple of years since she changed and whatever. So I kind of had, you know, sort of this arrangement with my old doctor. You know, like she would talk to me about, you know, Paul, you know, you got to get in a little bit better shape. You're a little bit, you know.
You say, look, don't tell me about getting in shape, and I won't
older.
Get on you about...
You're getting older, you know, I know it gets harder, and blah, blah, blah. You got to change your diet habits, and, you know, we would have these nice talks, and we'd say, I know, Dr. O'Brien, you're right, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I was anticipating a lot of that coming this time, and unlike, you know... my previous relationship with my doctor, knowing that she knew full well that I wasn't really going to change a whole lot unless I had to.
Yeah.
This, you know, I was kind of worried about this. So, of course, it comes in and we spend like 5 minutes sort of getting to know, you know, she's asking me questions about myself and my family and blah, 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 blah. And then right away, and I said, and she said, well, why do you feel like you need to lose weight? You know, it's like all of a sudden coming at me from the psychological part. Like she's trying to get, you know, those two beautiful boys that you have, you know, you want to be with them, right? And then, you know, and then you have, you know, a little bit of a history of, you know, heart problems in your family. You know, it's my dad's had a heart attack. You know, when you, again, you're getting older, and I'm like, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, how long are we going here? You know, I could hear Bill in the background.
You were dropping the Bill.
Long are we going here?
Yeah. I could hear Bill in the background. So, you know, we kept it going, and we sort of talked a little bit about some of that. And then she gave me the exam, and, you know, she's like, you know, everything, you know, my blood pressure was good. They originally took the blood pressure, you know, when, like, the assistant, the nurse practitioner or whatever, when they took my, it was ridiculously high. I had just gotten there, and it was like through the roof. And I was like, "That's a false reading. There's no way it's that high." Like, because even though I was a little stressed because I was running late to get there, I ended up getting there on time. And literally, I was like in the waiting room for like 2 minutes. Like, I didn't even have to wait. So I was fine. You know.
Did they take another one?
Yeah, they took another one, and it was good. You know, I forget exactly what it was, but it was like 124 or 80. It was back in the, she said, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in line. And she's looking at my history. She goes, that's in line with all your other ones. So that had to be a false reading. And everything else checked out. You know, she's like, oh, no, that looks good. This looks good. Any problems with this? No. Any problems with that? No. You ever have any problems doing it? No. You know, so it's like, no, you're looking good. You know, and, you know, she had gone over my weights.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, at your age, and, you know, I'm getting up there now, you know, getting up
mid-40s,
near 50,
yeah,
46. You know, the fact that you're not gaining weight is good. You know, and I'm looking at all your weights are right around the same, and this one is even dropped. I lost 6 pounds.
Were you, last time you said 4 years ago you went last time for a physical, were you playing old man basketball back then?
Yeah, that's probably around the time that I ruptured my Achilles.
It's been 4 years?
I think it's been five, actually.
Since you did that? Really? Get out of here.
Yeah, well, that was the other part.
Wow.
When I went to get my...
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
When I went to get... I had a doctor's appointment to have them check out my Achilles. Remember when I was walking around for like 2.5 weeks before I got anything done about it? I went in, and I saw somebody else who was like a partner in that same... Mm-hmm. My same previous primary care. So I didn't know her. And she did the test on my Achilles, and she's like, yeah, you have a ruptured Achilles. And then she goes in on the weight.
Oh.
You know? You know, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, listen... I was playing basketball when it happened, you know, so it's not like I was sitting on my couch and got up the wrong way and ruptured my Achilles, you know, like that commercial with the guy who gets up and he has all the potato chips on his chest, you know, like I was actually playing basketball. I'm not going to pretend that I was, you know, LeBron James out there, but I was running up and down the court, and that's how it happened. You know, sometimes I think they ask a little bit too much, just a little bit. But I am a little concerned about my cholesterol because, as we all know, you know, pizza and calzones and buffalo wings. Probably
what was
not
that
the best.
At? Or did you not get that back yet?
I didn't get it back.
You didn't get that
yet.
Back.
It was a little bit. The last time I got it, it was a little high. So she says, you know, hopefully it'll be a little bit better and we can attack this with diet. I don't want to put you on any medication. But if I'm going back in 6 months
because
we're going to look at the numbers and then.
Make
try to adjust it with diet, which obviously isn't going to work because I'm not going to do
You're not
that.
Not going to change.
And then we'll figure out if we have to do medication. But I don't want to take any medications if I.
You should try the fish oil tablets. That's what my doctor gave me.
I don't like seafood.
I don't either, Paul. But they have odorless ones that you can take. They do. I swear to God, that's what I use. They have odorless fish oil tablets.
I know you do, but you don't eat as much as I do. That's why you don't have any problems like I do.
Oh. Just a suggestion.
Yeah, you know, it's probably a pretty easy suggestion.
It's better than medication because this is not going to give you any like side effects.
Oh yeah, I just don't.
Medication can
deal
possibly
with it.
Give you side effects.
I just don't want to have to deal with it, like refills and you know remembering to take it.
Well, that stuff you can just get over the counter.
I don't like doing any of that crap.
I'm
talking about medication.
Oh yeah.
Cholesterol.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't want to deal.
Yeah. No. Medication. That should be the ultimate last resort. After you've tried everything else, and if it's not working, because I don't know, I think you can heal yourself more naturally than medicine allows. But that's just me. Dan, who you know, our friend Dan in Virginia, the Australian,
absolutely.
Guy, Dan, who likes to say, doesn't say where Virginia. He just likes typing that in. Says, hey, Eric, was the lesbian float pulled by a Subaru Outback?
Who are you to say, Dan? That was good. We just talk about these random things and all that. So was the lesbian parade.
Yeah, don't tell Fred Kirsch that, you know, what kind of car he should drive.
So you didn't miss a whole lot, Eric, with minicamp and stuff.
Yeah, nothing controversial happened? No,
No, and they continue to, you know, obviously work with just shirts and T-shirts
of course,
and shorts.
Yeah,
so
that's
the same
a tradition
old stuff,
around here.
Almost exclusively on the far field with all – and then, you know, down to the last day we're inside for reasons unknown. Was it
bad weather?
No.
It was a nice day and you practiced inside.
It was a regular day.
With basically 90 guys?
Yeah.
And you didn't see any sandbox in there, did you?
I did see a sandbox.
Oh, you did see a sandbox.
I did. But Fred says it's been there for 3 years.
Well, what were they using it for? Like to run drills through it?
I think they – no. I think they run on it as part of training, like rehab and whatnot.
Yeah, I've never seen – you know what? They probably put it in there.
It's at the back of one of the end zones.
Oh.
The near side. You know the side that we usually go in?
It's over
there?
It's
a big square. We went around to the other side.
Oh, okay.
But it's a big square sand pit, for lack of – it's – I know Andy called it a sandbox, but that's what it looks like.
I don't. I mean,
kind of reminds me of the old Gillette Stadium playing surface before they went to the field turf.
Yeah, that was awful. Hang on a second. I'm just trying to check some.
Evidently,
here.
No one has any interest today. We haven't gotten any calls.
Yeah, zero.
Eldridge hasn't called to yell at us about getting a wide receiver. You know, we haven't heard from Chester. We haven't, you know, it's vacation time.
It is.
Yeah, Fred Kirsch is not here.
Yeah, because we should point out this week, this Friday, is the annual Fred Kirsch.
Kirschapalooza.
Right. A catered affair.
It is a catered affair. I'm not sure I'm going
to
be able to be there.
Are we getting Dells? Do you know?
I don't think he did Dells this year.
See, that was a big hit last year. I wish he had done that again.
Yeah, my son liked it so much he went back for seconds.
Keith. Who
doesn't say where.
Really doesn't say where.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to call in and chat with you guys on this point, but I'm curious. Well, so why don't you? Given his reliability, durability, and consistency over the past couple of years, why do you guys dump on Edelman? That guy is infinitely valuable to this team. Kickoff returns, clutch third down catches, and yet it seems the kid gets nothing but guffaws from you guys every time his name comes up. Gronk? No. But Julian is a tremendously valuable guy, no? Ever since Walker went out hurt and Julian stepped up, I've wondered when this kid will get his dues. I'm curious to know why he's consistently undervalued. What else does he have to do? Good show, and go Pats. I'm having a hard time figuring out if he's being sarcastic or not. Because
I think he is being sarcastic because everything is pretty much the opposite.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, we're not dumping on Julian Edelman.
No, not at all.
When it's a comparison between which NFL Network is trying to make today, and maybe, I don't know if he was listening earlier, Keith, but NFL Network is asking who's more valuable, Gronkowski or Edelman, and I think even Keith himself is saying, obviously, he's not Gronk. So that's what we were guffawing about. The player himself, Edelman, is a solid player on this team, but to call him durable and reliable, he did that 1 out of 5 years. The other 4 years, he was constantly hurt.
Yeah, that's why I have to think he was being sarcastic.
And he never filled in for Welker for any length of time.
A couple of games.
He replaced Welker last year when Welker left.
There was one game.
But the 4 years that Welker and Edelman were teammates.
2009.
He never consistently replaced Welker.
He did it once or twice.
He did it for a game or two.
Yeah.
But never consistently.
Yeah.
And by the way, Welker was never hurt. So.
Well, he was hurt, but he always played.
He missed three games as a Patriot. In 2009, and Edelman might have played in a couple of them. But,
right.
You know.
Debbie.
No guffawing on Julian Edelman, by the way. Had a solid year last year, and. Deserve to re-sign the contract.
And we had always said when he was healthy, he could do things like he did all of last year.
I still think he's a terrific punt returner. I don't think he is anything special as a receiver. I think he's solid, but I think there's a lot of guys that are solid. I think he's special as a punt returner.
We were talking about Gronk earlier and his timetable that's being discussed on NFL Network. Debbie from doesn't say where. Gronk needs to be out there as soon as he can. If he can party off the field, then gets hurt when we need him. He needs to get the Bill boot. I'm sorry. You pick on Brady, but let Sacred Gronk off the hook. He plays this year, or I'm done with him.
Why are we?
And P.S. Heaven help if Gronk was Giselle's, you'd crucify him.
Why are we saying that?
What is she talking about there?
Yeah, I don't get the. First of all, Brady gets about as much criticism as
from us. Yeah.
No, I mean he doesn't get any criticism from anybody. But who? Where exactly are we saying that Gronkowski is going? I'm not sure I understand the email.
I think she was just basically just saying that she's tired of Gronk.
If he's not out there, where is he going? Of course he's going to be out there. Gronk. I mean, if he gets hurt again or something.
She's saying, I think that he does too much partying and then he gets hurt. I think that's what she's saying.
But one doesn't have anything to do with the other.
I know. She's trying to equate the two, though. But
I mean, because you go to like Las Vegas in March doesn't mean you're going to tear your ACL in December.
Yeah.
Like the two are not, there's no correlation there. Do you understand? That's why I don't really understand the point. Hey, I asked for some phone calls and we got them. So people are listening.
People are, of course they are. The emails are coming in. I just haven't had a chance to screen most of them. So, but we will go
to. Who are you, judge and jury? Just read them.
No, I like to read them beforehand so that I know what I'm reading. Unlike Fred, who comes in and just starts.
And reads like Chicago.
Yeah. Kat is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Long time no see, girl. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Not bad. Paul and I just today, Andy left us flat.
He's doing well.
To go on a real radio
show. Taking in gay pride parades in Europe and such.
Yeah. Honest, I'll tell you what, the Chicago Pride Parade literally goes a half a block from our house. It's just, it goes right past
So you got a front row seat.
Well, you have that mansion that you've been working on for like 3 years, right?
Is that done yet, by the way?
I won't say it's completely done, but we've got furniture and we're all 100% set up on 3 out of the 4 floors. So we're just working on the
four floors
now. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a big place.
Is that the spare room for when PFW comes to visit?
Yeah, the top floor is the master. Our bedroom has been in the basement, so we're trying to kind of get it finished up so we can move out of the basement up to the to the top. But you know, in Chicago, the buildings are kind of long, narrow buildings.
Yeah, yep.
So you build up, you know.
Yep, yep.
It's like Boston.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So what's going on with you, other than that? What do you got?
I've been rehabbing my dog. Pulled his he had a slipped disc and pulled the muscles and stuff. And so I've been doing rehab for the dog, which has been a lot of fun.
How the heck did he do that?
I never heard of such a thing.
I know, yeah. No, they have, they actually have, like, a physical therapy vet, and he goes twice a week, and we do exercises like a person would. You know, you go on he gets up on, like, a little balance thingy, and you know, they teach me all these stretches and stuff, and then he gets chiropractic, and it's kind of crazy, but...
Kat, didn't you post a video of the dog, like, in one of those, like, underwater treadmills, like, in a pool?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. On Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, I'd never seen anything like that. I think the dog has better health care than I do.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. He's better now than he was. I mean, he's 10, and he's running around like he's half that age now. So it's working. So go figure. But, yeah, so that's between that and the house, driving him out to, you know, God knows where twice a week and getting house stuff done. And so that's about it. You know, my life's not that interesting, but...
More interesting than mine.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind about the Patriots today?
Well, I thought it was funny. The guy, so you weren't here for this, but one of the regular callers, and I can't remember his name, keeps calling about that commercial that he hates.
Oh, yeah. Was that Larry?
Larry in Worcester.
Oh, the
Larry
commercial on
all right. Yeah.
We had a half an hour debate about on that while you were gone.
Yeah, exactly. So they were talking about how do other areas see New Englanders? And whenever I meet someone in Chicago, they always say to me, "Oh, you're from New England? You don't have an accent." So I think they think everybody talks like they're from Southie, first of all.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's true.
Secondly, they go, "Oh, but you're so nice." So go figure, but
well then you are the only nice one from New England.
I never thought that until I moved here. But the people, I will say, the people in the Midwest are definitely nicer and more,
Yeah, the Northeast has a reputation for being a little bit, you know, I don't know if rude is the right word, but, you know, a little abrasive, maybe.
I think people think they're very elitist, and they think that East Coasters think they're kind of above it all, which Andy was reinforcing, by the way, with his comments during that discussion. But anyway.
Andy was having a superiority complex. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? But the other thing I was going to say is, you know, slow news, very slow news. But I saw that, I think it was the Herald, had an article about Roy Finch. And is there, they were talking about he's no side shot to make the team.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Does he play bigger than he is, because I know he's tiny. And
he is tiny.
He's tiny, but
he's smaller than I am.
He is pretty put together, I will say that. Yeah. I'm curious. We'll see, Kat, when we get some pads on next month, and we'll see if he plays a little bit bigger than that. But he is very quick and very fast. I know Oklahoma fans loved him.
Is he a returner?
I think he looks like a specialist kind of guy to me. Yeah, I think he could be a guy that could catch the ball and a guy that could be a return man. And I think if he can do those things, I think the Patriots are dying for return men. I know that Edelman is great on punt returns, mm-hmm. but I'm wondering, because I thought he really tailed off last year down the stretch, and it's probably not a coincidence with the workload that he had as a receiver. He's probably going to have that kind of workload again this year if things go well. You might want another punt returner, and clearly they need a kick returner.
Yeah.
They've been searching for that.
Did we see him do a little bit of that in OTAs?
Finch? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I only saw the first.
And I know they loved him at Oklahoma, but he was never consistent and never got consistent playing time. And I know
saying obviously that pass protection is an issue with him because of his size.
Well, yeah.
Not because of desire or.
Right. No. Just physically.
I kind of chuckled at that quote, Kat, because it didn't have anything to do with desire. It was technique. But he's 5 foot nothing. Of course, it was.
You can know
how to do it, and sometimes you're just not big enough to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just was thinking Rudy in my head. You know?
Yeah.
Rudy. Yeah. Rudy. Well, it's cool. I really hope he works out as a return guy, because I'd love if Edelman didn't have to do that, considering he's our number one receiver, you know, and that's an easy way to get yourself hurt.
Right.
You planning on coming down to camp or any games this year?
I'd love to come to camp, but I don't know. My mom, I got to go up to Maine to visit my parents, and my mom is already trying to work me for extra, you know, she's a week, you can't come for a week, you got to come for longer, so. And I don't know if I can be away for that long. So we'll see. It's going to depend on how long I can get away.
Whereabouts in Maine, Kat?
My mom lives in Medibemp, which
is... Never heard of it.
No, it's only about 200 people. And it's about 15 minutes from the Canadian border and the ocean. So it's kind of...
Nice. Way tucked
Eastport,
up there.
Way up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eastport, Calais. It's right across from St. Stephen, New Brunswick, so...
All right.
Shout out to Down East Maine.
All right.
Down East.
All right, guys. Well, good talking to you. Have a good rest of the week.
All right. Thanks, have a good run with your dog.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Before we get back to the phones, Keith, who wrote in before, says...
clarifying the Edelman stuff.
No. He's actually saying that I'm right. Fish oil alone lowered my cholesterol from 450...
450
to 225. Take it.
Oh, well, I'm already 225. So
at least 1,200 milligrams a day. You're welcome.
450.
Seriously, that's insanely high. 450. Wow.
So you didn't change your diet. You just started taking fish oil.
Yeah.
Because if I can do that, I'll sign up.
Well, try it.
If I can, because I mean, like 200 is fine.
Yeah, that's supposedly the max.
They don't want you over 200.
Yeah.
So if you got from 4-something to 225 just by doing fish oil, then I should be able to get from 225 to 200.
You would think.
Doing it, and I can eat my buffalo wings and
give it a shot,
whatnot.
Paul. What do you have to lose?
Weight.
Other than that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Other than that. All right, we were just talking about the Canadian provinces a little bit with Kat.
Yeah.
Carl is in Montreal.
Yeah.
Bonjour, Carl.
Hi, guys. It's actually a big holiday in Quebec. It's Saint Jean the Baptiste. So,
are you off today? Then
off.
Yeah.
The rest of Canada has to work, so it's not such a bad deal.
Oh, so the Quebec province is off, but the rest of Canada is working.
Yeah, well, that's usually the way it is anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
It's the, you know, the Bostonians love to come down here and hang out at our after-hour establishments and our fine hockey team that took out the Bruins this year. But
flops all over the ice and whatnot. What?
Good series. But
it was. Montreal deserved to win that series.
Yeah. 75 days away from September 7th. I'm hoping Gronk's going to be on the field. I didn't expect he'd be that far ahead in his recovery. You know, no feel on this, the number one pick, Dominic Easley. You guys were saying he looked explosive. I think we're going to need that because if you look at the last two losses to Baltimore and to Denver, I mean, Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich, you know, Nick Money, as they call him, they disappeared in those games. They didn't get a finger on Peyton Manning. He wasn't touched with a pinky that whole game.
That's true,
yeah,
and it's
right.
Something, you know, I thought last year you look at the numbers and it would lead you to believe that the pass rush was pretty good last year. I really didn't think it was, and that's one of the reasons why I didn't think it was, Carl, because I felt like at times, in important times, they really never got around the quarterback, and that was one of them. They never got anywhere near him. I think there was one play in the entire game that Manning was – what I would call sort of bothered by anybody. And Jones sort of flashed by him and got an arm on him as he went by. And that was it. And that's not going to cut it. And you're right. They have to get better at that.
It was the same thing against Baltimore too. Joe Flacco was just standing back there and, you know, had one of the best days of his career, when they took us apart there in that second half. But yeah, that's an, I mean, the other part is tight end is because, I mean, if you look at the three tight ends that, you know, they used last year with Umanawinui, DJ Williams, and Mulligan,
mm-hmm. Yep.
That's got to go down as the worst tight end combination in history. And I mean, that's why, you know, you watch the Pats games the last couple of years, they were always featuring the two tight ends, and here they had none of them. I mean, Umanawinui has no, like, he can't get any separation, and the other two guys weren't even really used much except for blocking, so it was a bad combination. And you know, it's easy to say that let's just watch the tape of what Seattle did to Denver in that Super Bowl, but we don't have safeties like Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor to just lick the snot out of Welker and Julius Thomas. They were just getting pummeled every time they caught the ball. It was a clinic to watch that Super Bowl if you like defense.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree with that. And also, I even think that's Denver really, in a lot of ways, played right into Seattle's hands in that game by continuing to do that, just continuing to run crossing routes and underneath and shallow crosses, trying to, you know, see if they could hit, and they never really ventured away from that game plan. But you're right. The Patriots don't have the kind of personnel. Now, maybe, you know, we'll see. Maybe they do this year with, you know, a guy like Browner who's bigger and more physical and, you know, maybe McCourty with a guy like Revis out there covering can be a little bit more active across the middle and not having to worry about as much, you know, deep help as probably he has in the past. So, listen, there's a lot of people that are very high in this defense, Carl. We'll see how it all comes together.
Yeah, I mean, looking in the crystal ball, I have us, you know, winning another 12 games, getting a first-round bye, and probably battling with Denver, maybe Indianapolis, you know, if Andrew Luck takes it to another level.
Yeah, I think Indianapolis is an interesting team, too. I agree with you.
They're a scary team. But New England's going to be knocking on the door, and, you know, we're hoping to get Tom number 4.
All right, Carl. Anything else?
Take care, guys.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day off up there.
Thanks, man.
All right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Lunch has arrived at last. So emails are pouring in. Phone calls are lining up. We're going to get to all of you guys. Just be patient. We'll be right back after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up.
Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
You've heard of Growing Up Gronk, but now comes the tell-all book of the Perillo family.
We were going to go drink. I might not have any use the rest of the day.
From the storied authors of Northeastern Football, An Extinct Dynasty, and The Best Places to Drink Diet Pepsi in Everett comes Growing Up Perillo.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
Be there through Northeastern Husky glory.
It was a very big night in Northeastern sports. I won't go into the details because I won't bore you. 1982, my father was at the Garden for the hockey championships that Northeastern won, and I'm home watching them play in the first round of the NCAA basketball, which they won. And my brother got out.
Paul, you cover the basketball. We'll take the hockey.
No, my brother went out and got arrested that night. So my mother had to do all of the stuff. She had to go down and get him, and they had to get the car from a tow lot. My mother was unbelievably incensed. So I know I got about 30 seconds to celebrate with my father when he comes home before all hell's going to break loose. So I come running out of my
little
room.
Angel, right?
And I'm jumping up and down, high-fiving right. My father, and I go, all right, got to go. And I ran back in the room.
Rich.
And all you heard was, it was like Joe Pesci, and just once I wanted to be big. Ow, bing, boom.
You've disgraced the Perillo family, not to mention the whole Husky community.
Treasured father-son time.
My brother was going back and forth with my father, and it was one of those, you know, open your mouth one more time, and I'm going to let you have it. My brother was actually in the shower, and he didn't think my father could see him, and he just opened his mouth. My father laid him out through the shower curtain. One shot, right in the jaw, went down. As my brother tells the story, I'm lying nude in the jaw. Classic.
And other fond memories of the Perillo boys.
You know, my grandmother used to live with us when we, you know, when she was still alive. She used to, all of a sudden, she'd have these attacks of conscience. She'd be like the old Italian grandmother, you know, I had to be all worried. And my brother was in trouble for something. My father was all over him, and he hit him. And she got all nervous, and she calls up Aunt Carmela. You know Aunt Carmela from sure. Famous Stories. They're sisters. So she calls up. She goes, oh, Allie's beating the living out of him, but I'll tell you, he deserved it, though.
Growing up Perillo, flying off bookshelves everywhere. Order yours now by calling 855-PATS-500 or placing your order via email to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to PFW in progress.
Tony from Ashburn, Virginia, writing in about Paul's health. Hey, guys, I've been listening to your show for a couple of months now, and last week the conversation between Fred and Andy right after Paul left for his doctor's appointment was hilarious. Paul, sorry it was all at your expense, but I almost died laughing. Keep up the good work, guys. Do you know what they were saying about you? You do? About your health and playing taps and all that? Was there more to it?
Oh, no, I was here when most of that started. Then they continued it after I was gone and saying how, you know, I was going to die, not sure they're going to make it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and they were getting, you know, the typical Andy rocket shots after. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, yeah, that's okay. That's to be expected.
Paul, the guy who took the fish oil and
yes,
had that
I see he's dropped, on the line. Keith
from Florida is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. 450, Keith?
Gentlemen.
You were up at 450 with the cholesterol?
Yeah. I went to my doctor, and she read it to me, and I almost fainted right there. I mean, I knew it was bad because I was, like, straight up IPAs and chicken wings, like, every night of the week, and I went in and she told me it was 450. So basically what she put me on was niacin, and I'd never even heard of it. It's a dietary supplement thing, whatever, but it helps your body metabolize things that aren't good for you. And the combination of 500 milligrams a day of niacin and 1200 milligrams a day of fish oil cut it in half, like almost exactly in half in like 6 months.
Now, how old were
does.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
At the time when she told me this, I was probably, I don't know, like 24.
Okay, that's
25.
What I was going to ask you. How old were you and how big were you, weight-wise?
Oh, I'm sorry, no. At the time, let me see. This wasn't that long ago. I was probably 33.
Oh, that's a
I'm
big
sorry,
difference.
I got a little confused there. And as far as big, no, man, I'm 185 pounds, soaking wet, 5'10".
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, I was just really kind of heading down a bad road. So I'm on the Paul Perillo Miller Lite diet now. I keep it light.
With the fish oil, still.
With the fish oil. And the funny thing is, and I do need to mention this after the fact, my recent doctor, I, like you, had to change doctors because all of a sudden they don't accept my plan, whatever, it's a whole different thing. My new doctor told me that the whole fish oil thing is bupkis. But I happen to know the proof is in the numbers, and I still take it anyway, just because why not?
I've started taking it, too, a few years ago because I had a little bit higher cholesterol than my doctor's liked.
Don't forget, Keith.
And I swear by it.
It's not a lie if you believe it. Just remember.
Yeah,
George Costanza will tell you. So, I mean, listen, even if it is a placebo, but even if it really is a placebo.
I'm sorry?
I said, even if it really is a placebo and it's not doing anything medically for you, if you believe that it's making you feel better, then you feel better.
It's
you know,
true.
It's a fact.
The thing about this is, and you had asked if there was any exercise or anything like that. I mean, nothing. I knew I should have, but I was curious how much alone it would change with just the fish oil because my girlfriend's in a healthcare profession and one of her fellow doctors told me the same thing about the fish oil. He's like, look, I do nothing else, and the fish oil knocked it down. Now, there's probably going to be people that call in as soon as I get off the phone with you guys that are going to dispute this all day long.
Well, no, see, I think you're right because it might not work for some people. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's body chemically is different. So what works for somebody might not work for somebody else. So that's why I think some doctors might say, oh, it's not going to do anything because maybe their experience is that it hasn't helped those people.
And my bigger concern was more dietary because, you know, and I know I've talked about it on the show a lot. There are times, probably once a year for about, you know, a month or so where I try to eat better and take better care of what, you know, trying not to eat out as much and trying to
to eat some better foods. But I get very tired of that quickly because
that's usually when Beth,
when she cracks the whip. Yeah. But I just, there's not a lot of foods that are quote unquote good for you that I like. I don't really like fish. I know a lot of people will eat fish. So I don't like seafood. There's just not a lot of, you know, not a lot of different vegetables I like. I'll eat some, but I don't really like a lot of them. So I eat a lot of fruit, and that's not great for losing weight because there's a lot of sugar in fruit, you know. Yep. So even that's not really good. And I eat a lot of cholesterol-type food. I eat a lot of red meat.
Fried stuff. And
a lot of fried stuff. So that's my bigger concern is can I get the cholesterol under control without making strict, you know, dramatic changes in my diet? Because I am I wouldn't say I'm active. I'm not. Andy goes to the gym all the time when he's here, you know, because he, you know, somehow he doesn't have any work to do, so he just goes to the gym. And that's not something I want to do. I don't like to go to the gym to work out, but I'll go and play basketball for 2 hours on Thursday nights. I coach two baseball teams. I'm all over the field with the kids, you know, running around. Last night I threw batting practice to 15 kids.
A lot like me as far as that goes, because I work from home, and that's the reason why I sent you guys an email earlier. I couldn't call on the phone with a client, but I work from home. I sit in one spot for 10 hours a day. I listen to you guys religiously, by the way. Thankfully, something takes a little bit of the edge off. But no, it's the same thing, and I wasn't willing to change my diet. It wasn't a thing that was up for discussion. I was like, no, I'm gonna eat the wings and all that. And having said all that, it still somehow worked. And there again, I think Eric had a point. If I was 5'6" and 285, whole different thing. My body was clearly just ready to adapt to that one change. So if the number does climb, there you go. Yeah. On to my other thing that I emailed you guys about first, the whole Julian Edelman thing. You guys were asking if I was being sarcastic, and I actually wasn't. And I know that framed in the context of how it originally came up, the whole Gronk comparison, yeah, it did seem sarcastic. But I just told you my size. I'm like 5'10". I'm like 175 pounds. I'm a white guy. And I think on some level, I kind of just root for little white guys, you know? And, like, I always thought that Julian Edelman was better than the credit that he gets. And I think last year was the first time that window really opened up and people got a good long look at, like, his skill set and what he brings to this team. And so I just, you know, recently, whenever his name comes up, it's kind of like a, oh, Julian Edelman, you know, like, I know he's all we had last year, so he had to be that guy. But I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like he's,
well, I think
like, kind of a little unsung.
I hear you, but I think that, and I think I said this before when we brought it up, was that we always saw the talent that Edelman had from the day he got here. We could tell. I mean, just seeing him drop his first couple of punt returns in practice, and then the first one he did in a preseason game, he took back for a touchdown. We could see that he had talent. What we always were skeptical about was how long he could stay on the field. Because he would get hurt every year, almost like clockwork. He'd be out. He'd be missing several games. So as much as we liked him as a player, we just couldn't rely on him. So that's, I think, part of where our
and that still sticks in my mind with him is, you know, last year he stayed healthy and good for him. He had a good season. I don't think he is a great player. I think he's a valuable guy who can do some things for you, and I think that there's some contributions that he can make. But he needs to stay healthy. He needs to do that for a whole year and not one out of five times. You know, that's where I think the guffaws come from, at least from my end, is that I'm not sure how reliable he is. So when I heard you say how, you know, consistent and reliable, those aren't necessarily adjectives I would use to describe him. But Eric's right. I think that we've always seen the ability to contribute from him. He has good hands. Good quickness. He's excellent, I think, with the ball in his hands in the open field. The first guy almost never tackles him. You know, the first guy that has a shot at him on punt returns almost never gets him down. So I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a stiff or anything like that.
Yeah, you guys are better positioned to judge him. You guys take a fair and balanced look at all the players. Like I said, I root for the little guy. I was a giant Woodhead fan. I really like Danny, and I, you know, Welker, of course. I mean,
those guys are easy to root for.
Fat head down in my office. So yeah, I mean, I got a little bit of a quick underdog white guy thing going on. I like the, you know, I'm all about the little guys, but No, I mean, I appreciate you guys talking about it. It's cool to be able to call and talk to you guys for a little bit.
Yeah, thanks for the cholesterol talk. You gave me you're giving me some hope.
Motivation, too.
But hope.
Yeah.
I don't have to give it all up.
You, man, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what your doctor would tell you. Do everything that they tell you. But remember this. When you die, do you really want to die with a damn veggie wrap in your hand?
Well,
no.
That ain't happening. So you don't have to worry about it.
You know what
but
I mean? It's one of those things. Like, you can do everything you want, but ultimately, you got to live your life.
Plus, there's that. My hope comes from that. There's this little town in Italy where, like, everyone's cholesterol is, like, in the 300s, and they all live to be in their 90s. And they eat whatever the hell they want all the time. That's the hope that I have. Because we're, you know, we're paisans, Paul.
Absolutely. I'm not going to stop eating that.
I'm not going to stop eating that way.
No.
I'm not going to take any medicine that's going to, you know.
You think I can have a holiday without
more
without like
than it,
you know, a roast beef and a lasagna?
Prevents?
I mean, no, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, you kind of let yourself down. But, you know, Eric, you're right. Maybe the correlation has nothing to do with cholesterol. Maybe it's something else entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in 3 or 4 years, this is what we're going to hear. They're going to come out and say, oh, it turns out your cholesterol level didn't mean anything.
I think the cholesterol
I might be pushing it a little bit.
No, but I think the cholesterol level might be different. Like, the baseline can be different for different people.
Right.
Just like I said, you know, like, your body chemistry, everyone is different, and the fish oil might work for one person and not for another. Just so along those lines, I think your body might naturally produce more cholesterol than somebody else's, but that might not be a bad thing for you. You know, your baseline might be higher than average. So that's what I think we're going to hear in the near future too. But, you know, for the meantime, we have to put up with doctors telling us that they got to stick by these numbers. So, you know, it's like Bill in the 6'4", it's like Bill in the 6'4", 260 thing. Not every guy who's 6'4" and 260 can rush the passer.
Right.
So you got to go with the guy who can, no matter what his numbers are.
Yeah.
All right, Keith.
Thanks, Keith.
Get back to work now. Okay?
I got a funny story for you.
We'll talk to you later. Thanks, Keith.
You hear about the playbook thing last week? Mike Pettine, new coach of the Cleveland Browns, was interviewed by our old friend Greg Bedard for Monday Morning Quarterback. .com and in that story, Bedard relayed an anecdote about Pettine saying how the Patriots supposedly had the Jets playbook during the time when Pettine was the defensive coordinator for the Jets. And the story went that at Wes Welker's wedding, Welker's college roommate, who was a member of the staff for the Jets, I think his name was Mike Smith, was at the wedding, and Brady was joking with him saying, yeah, you know, we had your playbook. And Pettine was telling Bedard that he used to...
Saying it jokingly or saying really?
No, it was serious. It was a serious story. Pettine was telling Bedard that he used to sort of warn Rex Ryan because Pettine says that Ryan used to give out playbooks like candy. He used to give them out all the time. He gave one out to Nick Saban. And, Pettine said, well, you know that Belichick and Saban are good friends, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure that that's a smart thing to do. Anyway, long story short, I had a friend who's a huge Patriots fan. He lives in Long Island, and he's at some event today with the Jets. Looks like some softball game. So he had his son, who's a humongous Patriots fan. He had a son, and he took a picture with Geno Smith and Matt Sims. And he said his son told him, he goes, I'm going to go up and ask him for a playbook. So there he is with a picture with Geno Smith and Matt Sims on either side of him. And my friend says, I told him to be nice. So I don't think he actually did it. But, yeah, that was a big story for late last week. And then Bedard, which I thought was a little ridiculous, claimed that it was the media at its worst because ESPN sort of glommed onto it and, you know, wanted to get comment from both sides.
Yep.
Rich Cimini was on SportsCenter and they were, you know, Spygate 2 with a question mark. You know, obviously the ESPN was blowing it up a little bit. But in terms of the playbook itself, I have no doubt that the Patriots that Brady was telling the truth. It's not like that big of a deal. Playbooks, I think, you know, guys switch teams, guys go from one place to another.
Mm.
I think that happens. But Bedard got very, persnickety, saying it was the media at its worst, blowing up a story. You don't get anything out of a playbook and this and that. So I'll say two things. First of all, that's incredibly naive to think that a playbook is not of any value because the coaches like Belichick, who guard playbooks with their life are not stupid.
Yeah, there has to
There's
be
a reason why they
do
don't
right.
give them out like candy, number one. Number two, if you thought it was so irrelevant, why'd you include it in your story? He said, I wrote over 3,000 words.
Yeah,
on,
and why
on,
did Brady mention it to the guy if it wasn't that big a deal?
You know, Bedard was on one of the local shows here. And he said, I wrote over 3,000 words on Mike Pettine in Cleveland, and that was one small anecdote that was in the 22nd paragraph. My rebuttal to that is, if you didn't think it was worth being in there, why did you put it in? If you didn't want people to talk, he knew exactly what was going to happen when he wrote that. He included it because he knew it would cause a ruffle some feathers in both towns. Now Rex Ryan came out and vehemently defended Belichick, which was really strange. As positive, he doesn't need playbooks to blah 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 and this and that, and that's utterly ridiculous. The insinuation that Belichick would do, he totally dismissed it. Now really? Rex is in addition to defending Belichick, is also sort of trying to
downplay,
save his own bacon,
yeah.
You know, like, right. It's not a big deal that the playbook is out there and this and that. But, yeah, that was late last week. Belichick was asked about it, and he said, I draft Mike Pettine. To which, the follow-up should have been, well, we already know what Mike Pettine said. We want to know what
you
think.
We know what you said. Yeah. Before we go back to the phone, Sam in Chicago, on your health, Paul, here's the deal. Go about your regular routine, but just do this one thing. Don't eat any bread. Crackers, pizza crust, sub buns. Reduce your general look to Grimace from McDonald's. Ever notice there are no old fat people, he says?
First of all, I feel the need to defend myself a little bit with the likes of Andy Hart.
Mm-hmm.
If I could drop about 25 pounds.
That put you where?
Put me about
190?
No. A lot lower than that. More like 170. That's 175. I'd be very happy. Andy paints this picture that I am like spilling over onto three chairs.
And it's not true.
I have a belly that I'm not exactly proud of. I am not one of these guys that my eyeballs are about to bust out of my head because I'm so fat. Okay, so the whole old fat people. The answer to the question is I see hundreds and hundreds of people older than me and fatter than me every day. Every single day. This is not one of, I'm not one of these 450-pound guys that should be on The Biggest Loser. So, I very rarely defend myself in terms of that, but you don't have to go and, light any candles at church for me.
Okay. Justin is in Virginia. He's also on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What's on your mind, Justin?
Nice. Hey, guys. I was wondering if you guys are worried about, why when they play Brandon Spike, not because he'll intercept depth or anything, he kind of sucks, but he hits really hard and we got to face him twice a year.
Yeah, but he's got to catch up to somebody.
Yeah, I have no fear of Brandon Spikes whatsoever.
What about him getting to Brady, though?
I don't have any fear of that either.
I don't have much fear of him rushing the passer. Listen, he's a very physical player, and I would bet that he probably will have an opportunity to lay a big hit during the course of a game. He pretty much did that every game, once a game. But, listen, guys can take hits. You got to be able to – that's part of being durable. You got to be able to get up. I always worry when Brady gets hit. But really, there's only one hit that's ever really done any damage.
Right.
Right? In his long career. So hopefully we can continue that.
Knock on wood.
And go on with it. But I understand what you're saying, Justin. Spikes is a guy who's clearly going to play with a chip on his shoulder all the time.
Sure.
And he will have an especially big one when he plays the Patriots twice.
And don't forget, he was a guy that had injury history here. He wasn't always in the lineup. Who's to say he'll even be on the field?
In the lineup. Yep.
Okay, that makes me feel better. But one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
We very rarely make people feel better.
No, we cured a guy's cancer, remember?
That's true.
But, are you afraid that, Josh Boyce could be, a Julian Edelman or a Danny Amendola? Because I remember, on his draft report, he had, that foot thing or whatever, and there was this big hype about how he ran his 40 time, even with his foot injury.
Yep.
Are you scared he might be, one of them?
You mean, injury prone, do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's too early to tell, but Yeah, I mean, it's never a good thing, never a good sign when young players are battling injuries. I would say the same thing about Dobson. Last year, I thought Dobson battled a few different things, and now, you know, he's had surgery on his foot. So, yeah, I worry about it a little bit.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, Justin. We'll move over to Tennessee, where Melvin is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What's up?
What's up, yeah? What's going on?
Hey,
you,
Melvin.
You tell us.
Not much. Something's on my mind with Stephen Ridley. Got a little concerned about him now I think about it heading into the season. You know, like with any sport, I guess, that I played, I guess everybody else has played. So, you know, a certain percent of it is just mental. And I was thinking that, you know, if Belichick, you obviously mentioned several times with, you know, when he gets the fumbling, they're going to bench him and stuff like that. Do you think that's really beneficial to him? Because now I'm thinking that, you know, headed was last year, he knows that he's having these fumbling issues. It's constantly being brought up in the media, stuff like that. I know that, you know, especially being a running back, you know, once you get the ball, you can't, you have to be able to go and shoot the hole and, you know, make the cuts and protect the football. But I think with all this possibly negativity surrounding him heading to his, like, he don't even know if he's really, like, you know, fiddling with the number one spot. He's supposed to be the lead back, but that could change at any second based off of, you know, one fumble here. Do you feel like that that's really going to negatively affect him heading to the season?
I don't. I think he is a
You mean psychologically?
Yeah, I understand. Melvin's point is, do you think that that's the best tact? Do you have him thinking about his fumbles? I think that Bill has tried it a bunch of different ways. I think he has allowed him to fumble and stuck with him in those games. I think he's sat him out altogether the game after a fumble, and nothing has worked. I think the guy has some problems holding onto the football, and I think mentally he's a little soft. I think that he runs hard, but I think mentally he's a little fragile, and I don't put this on Belichick. This is a problem he's had going back to his college days, holding on to the football. And quite honestly, Melvin, I think this is the last year you'll see Stephen Ridley in a Patriots uniform. I think he'll sign somewhere in the offseason as a free agent. I'd be very surprised if they re-signed him. Now, the way my luck has been going lately, I would expect him to re-sign by, you know, somewhere in the middle of training camp.
Because that seems, get like, a long-term
seems like every time I say something definitively, the opposite happens very quickly.
Okay, one more point I'll make off that, but do you think that heading into that season, Belichick will sit up there and say that, you know, I got a limit on this guy. This guy drops my football four times a season. He's done. He's just going to sit up. Would you ever, I know that's probably a psychological thing for Belichick too. You know, just I can't trust this guy to hold on to the football. Would you ever, is there any type of idea that you might have a preset kind of limit for him? Because I've given him, you know, it's been 3 years. I've given him this time. All right, look, you're running on a short leash this year. You do A, B, and C, and D, and I'm letting him go. He's going to sit on the bench for the rest of the year. Could you
think
of that?
I don't know if it'd be a limit, but here the thing like that he had last year that he doesn't have this year is really, to me, like an every-down option. With Blunt, I think he could easily sit there and say, you know what, if he's not going to hold on to the football, I'll put this guy in. I'm not sure you want to do that with Shane Vereen. But, you know, especially given his injury history, I'm not sure you want to rely on him for double-digit carries a game, you know, in the event that Ridley. Now, I know he had that great game in Buffalo where I think he had 100 yards on 14 carries in the opener last year. But I don't think that's something you want to do. I don't think you want to get Vereen up around 15 carries on a consistent basis. So I'm not sure they have the options right now. Brandon Bolden, to me, is not an option as an every-down back. And they haven't replaced that backup spot. So you might get your wish, Melvin. It might be he might have to fight through it because I don't know if Bill's going to have many options.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I was thinking. All right, I'll talk to all y'all later.
All right, Melvin, thanks for the call, bud. Joel in Connecticut writes in, don't worry, guys. I'm listening, loving your health antics and adventures and stories of walking into crowds and coming out of the closet. A few questions. One, what will Brandon LaFell have to do not to be considered a bust? Do you feel that he will
contribute?
And do you feel that he will be?
He needs to contribute. That's all. He doesn't. I mean, I'm not expecting him to go out and catch 80 balls. He'd go out and catch, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 passes, a couple of touchdowns, make some first downs, be reliable, be out there every game, be healthy and contribute.
And he's already having a problem with that as far as...
He hasn't been on the field very much so far. I don't know what his...
During OTAs and, and minicamp.
We haven't seen him very much. But...
But we don't know what... We don't know what's ailing him, do we?
I don't think that Aaron Dobson was a bust last year. Do you know what I mean?
I'm sorry. Do we know why he hasn't been on the field?
No.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't see Dobson all that much either.
Now, I think there's some reports on LaFell, but I don't know if any of them, you know, if there's any validity to any of them.
What are they saying?
I don't know what any of the reports are. But, like, Aaron Dobson last year didn't go out and light the world on fire. Kenbrell Tompkins didn't light the world on fire. But I don't think they were busts. I think they came in, I think at times they contributed. Now, if LaFell can contribute like that all year, then that's a good solid addition, and he's a contributor. Some people think that he might be used as a sort of an extra tight end, a move tight end because of his size and because of what Ron Rivera said when he left Carolina, that they used him in some capacities like that. He's an excellent blocking wide receiver. That to me would be a little bit more disappointing if he sort of became this niche player.
Yeah,
I think he needs to be a contributor as a regular guy.
Yeah. It's preferably one of those, an outside guy.
Right.
With Dobson on the other side.
Yeah, but again, I don't need him to catch, 60, 70, 80 balls. I just need him to be a contributor.
Yeah. Second question from Joel in Connecticut. Would you prefer Ridley or Vereen to be your primary back? We already kind of mentioned that at the end of...
As a ball carrier, Ridley.
The last call.
For the other stuff, Vereen.
Yeah, and who's more dependable, he wants to know.
Hmm.
That's a tough call because...
It's a 6-5 pick.
Yeah.
I could go either way. I don't think that either one of those players has been reliable.
Yeah, it's too bad because we like both of them. I mean,
I think they both have skills. I like Vereen's skills more so than Ridley's, but they both have definitely talent to offer.
Last one could easily become better than Will Fork, and what would he have to do not to be considered a bust? Well.
He's a whole different player.
Yeah, completely different type of player. So it's you're not really making a fair comparison there. But, I mean, for anybody not to be a bust, they have to, like you said, they have to be out there. They have to contribute.
Yeah, contribute.
Like if Jake Beckett doesn't make the team this year.
That's a bust.
That's a bust.
Third round pick. Jake Beckett can't get on the field 2 years into his career. That's a bust. But go out and contribute a little bit. And then once you start doing that, Then you raise the bar a little bit, and you're looking for numbers. So I'm not going to put a number on Dominique Easley, but as far as him and Will Fork, totally different. I know they're both defensive tackles. They play totally different positions.
Absolutely.
They're asked to do different things.
And, based on what we saw in minicamp, I mean, he was only out there one day, but was he I wouldn't be surprised if they make Easley rotate to the outside based on just his look. I mean, he doesn't look to me like a tackle.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do to him, and we didn't get a chance to see him in practice at all because even the one day he was out there, we were only out there for 40 minutes. Most of that was drills. But he has the ability to penetrate, get it. Now, I don't know if that works on the outside. Like on the inside, he has the ability to penetrate and be athletic.
Yeah, could be.
On the outside, he might not have that ability.
Right.
So that'll be something to keep an eye on. But he does look more like a defensive end than a defensive tackle.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought when he came out there. It didn't look to me like a Will Fork type at all.
But you know what I'm saying? If you're a fast, athletic defensive tackle, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a fast, athletic defensive end.
Right.
Different kind of athletes.
Right. Like, I think Richard Seymour was a guy who could play either one pretty
well. And he also
played
a different kind because they played predominantly 3-4, 2-gap stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to ask Easley to do stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't either. Back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan
is
in Virginia. Dan, how are you doing today?
Good, although I guess maybe I'm the one with the hang-up call.
The hang-up?
The hang-up, yes, with my Subaru question. Coincidentally,
oh, yeah, that was good. I like that one.
Coincidentally, I do drive a Subaru, but I've never picked up any lesbians in it.
Well, you got to talk to Fred Kirsch about that. That's his, he'll be back next week. He's the expert on those things.
A couple of comments and then a couple of questions. Paul, given your love for the beach but not the ocean, I was wondering if you'd set up a deck chair and a Miller Lite in the sandpit in the bubble yet.
That wouldn't be bad, but I like the fact that the water is there, so I do need the water. I just don't necessarily like to swim in the water. You see the anybody see the footage? I think it was on Good Morning America this morning. They showed this paddleboarder, and I don't know where it was. Paddleboarded right over a great white shark. They had an aerial view. Did you see that, Kevin? You did? Where was that?
I think it was in, I thought it was in Australia, but I don't know.
It's your hometown there, Dan.
Unbelievable. He, you know, was one of those aerial views. You could see the, you know, the silhouette of the shark, and some dude just paddleboarded right over.
He had
no
clue?
Idea.
Jeez.
No idea. Now, I don't know how deep the shark was, but
it doesn't matter. He was close enough.
Close enough. Yeah, I'm out.
God Almighty.
I don't know what's in there, Dan. I'm so, I just don't. I don't know what's there. And
you're missing out, Paul.
Up in our area now, up by like Cape Cod and stuff.
Yeah, this is time
every single year.
Yep.
Every single year, you're getting more and more, sightings and attacks. I'm telling you, it's getting worse.
Uruguay is breaking our heart now, Paul.
Yeah.
They just scored against Italy.
Italy's
82nd minute here.
About, 15 minutes away from being out.
Yeah.
Not good.
Bust.
I also wanted to pick up some comments made last week, and Kat mentioned it earlier today about New England being known for not the friendliest people. I was actually up in New England for Memorial Day weekend this year, and I kind of was aware of that stereotype, but I found everybody actually up there really, really friendly and, you know, very pleasant and nice. So it was, I don't know how true that stereotype actually is.
Well, I think it might be your accent. You know, we're partial to accented people, and you have an Australian accent. I think that might have helped you a little bit.
Maybe. I just really enjoyed the weekend up there. I checked out Patriot Place, which was really, really good. They really did a good job up there. But
Where'd you stay? In Boston or along in the Cape?
Actually, most of the time up in New Hampshire, and then was down in near Foxborough for the final night. So I checked out Boston, which was really nice. Checked out some other spots in New Hampshire. So really had a good weekend up there. It was good.
Well, good. You're going to try to catch a game. Are you going to go to the Skins game in the preseason?
Well, that's actually one of the questions I wanted to ask about. I am looking at catching the game, but in terms of Washington training camp, is there going to be much opportunity for access to the team? And are you guys going to be hanging around much in the area during that week?
Well, it's in Richmond.
Yeah, we'll be in Richmond. I don't know exactly.
I know that.
I don't know exactly what that's going to entail.
I do believe that those practices are open to the public.
They are.
So you will be able to watch if you can get down there. But as far as our schedule work-wise, we don't know that yet.
Okay. So I should just check out the bars for most of you guys during the nighttime and the strip clubs for Andy.
Correct. Good plan.
But I actually had one final sort of more serious question.
Okay.
I was reading someone reflecting on the 2004 team the other day. It was a veteran that came in to train with New England and just talking about how sound New England was with the fundamentals, particularly talking about the defensive line play and the tackling. And it just sort of struck him as being so different from what we've seen the last couple of years. You know, D-line, especially kind of last year, but of course, you know, Nico and Jones played, you know, almost every single snap. But tackling, especially the last few years, it got better last year, but sort of 2009 and 2010, it really seemed like the tackling dropped off. I just want to ask you guys, how do you think they've been with those defensive fundamentals the last couple of years? And what do you think are the biggest differences between the Super Bowl winning teams and the recent teams? You know, what's been those missing key elements? Has it been, you know, talent? Has it been execution? Or, you know, Andy made a good point last week about the Super Bowl teams seem to make those plays at the right time. What's kind of been the one or two differences that maybe have kind of meant the difference between hoisting another Lombardi and just, you know, crapping out of the out of a championship game?
I think it's talent.
I do too.
You know, personally, I think that those defenses in 03 and 04
much more talented.
Had much more talent. But in terms of fundamentals and tackling and whatnot, I think tackling is a very difficult thing to do. I think to tackle a guy in the open field, especially these athletes today, that can make you look so silly, I think you're going to miss tackles. And I think when your team misses a tackle, it's magnified greatly. But if you watch every week and you'll say something like, wow, did you see that run by Gronk? Like, he carried three guys. Well, the other team is saying, did you see those three guys miss the tackle on Gronk.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things. You see all the tackles you miss.
Right.
But when your guys are breaking tackles and making guys miss, you don't really look at it as the other team's missing tackles.
Yeah.
You look at it as your guys are making plays. Well, probably some of that is somewhere in the middle is the truth on that. But I do think tackling is a very difficult thing.
Yeah.
And we all know that the technique is
has gotten really off kilter. I think the bottom line to your question, Dan, and I agree with Paul, the talent that we had on defense was far superior in those Super Bowl years than we've had. Now, offensively, I think that the talent on the last couple of Super Bowl teams, the ones that they lost to the Giants, was pretty damn good. They just didn't really do their part in those games. I mean, they scored, 14 points in the loss?
The offense hasn't been good.
21 in the next game?
In the playoff games,
not nearly what
they
were used to.
The offense has not been good.
No. So they've had, I'd say defensively, it's a matter of talent. Offensively, it's been a matter of execution because they have the talent. They just hadn't executed. So it's a little bit of both.
All right. Interesting to know.
Good enough?
Yep. Great.
All right, Dan. We'll talk to you later. Boy, suddenly the phones have heated up.
Yeah, I was looking for phone calls, and all of a sudden everybody started calling.
Yeah, he wrote in before, but we're going to get him on to talk now. Chris with the TIAN. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Yeah, welcome back, my friend.
The Paisans are not helping us right now. It's 1-0 Uruguay, 87th minute here, and it's not looking good.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Yeah, they are fragile in this World Cup.
Paul, you're going to be fine. You got plenty of Filippo Berio flowing through you. You'll be fine. You preserve you.
It's like formaldehyde.
Yeah, good olive oil in you. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. All those Italian Christmases will save you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Question for you, my friend, and Paul and Eric. I think you kind of hinted a little bit at this as well. Has the Brandon Browner signing been overrated by the media and more so the fans, do you feel?
I don't know yet.
Nah, that's too soon.
I think I think people are ahead of themselves.
Okay.
I think he might be a very, very good signing, but I just haven't seen the guy play yet. I mean, I never thought of him in Seattle as this difference-making kind of player. Maybe he is. Maybe I just didn't see Seattle enough. When we played them a couple years ago, we lost that game.
24-23, yep.
Yeah, we lost that game in the last minutes.
Yep.
I know Brandon Browner had a big hit in that game on Welker that everybody points to. He did not stand. The Patriots threw the ball up and down the field against them that day. They just couldn't score.
They got in the red zone like six times.
Yeah, they had some turn. You know, Brady had a couple uncharacteristic picks in that game.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. I didn't see Brandon Browner was the shutdown guy that we had to avoid. I didn't know a whole lot about him going into that game. And I just never looked at him as, I heard a lot about Sherman, and I've seen Sherman make some huge plays. I never saw that from Browner.
No.
You know, we'll see.
Yeah. I just.
His size is intriguing, Christian, because he's the biggest corner we've had.
Yeah.
Easily.
And Andy mentioned last week, Bill's been trying to get this type of guy. The draft pick from 2011, his name just escaped. Rather Dowling.
Yeah,
he's been trying to get guys like this, and my question is, is he an upgrade? Like you said, you don't know. Have you seen him play? Is he better than Alfonso Denham or Logan Ryan? I think they're totally different types of players, but can you line them up, Officer? It was Denham to me is kind of funny. Denham had a great game, against the Colts in the playoff game, and then everybody else looked terrible against Manning in the championship game. And Logan Ryan flashed, but. They're still unknowns, what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess you can sort of lump Browner into that category, too.
Like absolutely.
We have three, while Browner at least, has played a while, and so Dennis played a couple of years, but they're still relatively unknowns. That's how I look at it.
Now, maybe he is better, and that's why I don't want to say it's being overrated yet, because I'll reserve judgment to see him play. But I think much like Gronkowski, it's about Revis. If Revis is Revis...
Yeah.
And then I think that solidifies that secondary. And then, whether it's Dennard or Ryan or Browner, I don't think matters that much.
Yeah.
One of them will be good enough.
So it's like the Ty Law effect where you can put Ty Law opposite them and it doesn't matter.
Right. Exactly.
Because you have Ty Law.
That's how
right,
I feel.
You're playing with half a field at that point.
I like to oversimplify things, but that's how I feel.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you guys.
We'll talk to you later, Christian. All right, we're going to try to squeeze all these in. We do have a few emails that have come in. One quick one here just to throw out to the PFW listenership. He says, hi, I am Katul. I was curious to know, why are the Patriots not on the nationally televised schedule for preseason? Do you guys know if there are any packages to watch live games, or do the Patriots offer anything to their fans to watch live games if they are not on the TV? That's for preseason.
This is the first time in a long time that they haven't had a preseason game on national TV. You can get them all on NFL Network, just not live. NFL Network rebroadcasts preseason games. The reason I think that the league wanted to put some different teams on the national stage that aren't normally on.
Yep.
So obviously the Patriots are on five times during the course of the regular season, five or six times.
Yeah.
So I think they wanted to get some of the lesser teams on national games in the preseason because they're not really accustomed to doing so.
Right. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Balarco is in Louisiana.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey man, I'm from Los Angeles.
L.A. Sorry, Eric.
Oh, okay. Sorry. L.A. Sorry. I saw the L.A. I thought he was abbreviating.
Yeah, that's fine. I actually had a couple of questions, quick questions. First, about running back James White. Have the Pats utilized him in the training camp with teaming him up with Green and creating mismatches in the 21 personnel group kind of thing?
I have not seen him very much with another back, but I have seen some two back sets. Yes, so I wouldn't be stunned. And James White, by the way, looks the part. I think he catches the ball well. Looks like he's done it. Looks like he's very comfortable doing that. Let's put it that way.
Also, I wanted to ask about how did Duran Harmon live in the training camp? Because I read a couple of articles. One of them, McCarty was saying that he has very good work ethic. And then I read another article about how he's studying tapes of all these different safeties. So how did he look in the
training camp? I thought he looked fine. I didn't really see anything glaring. It's
hard,
again,
to judge,
safeties are kind of a physical position. You're not asked cover a guy one-on-one. Now, corners are locked up with wide receivers one-on-one, so you could sort of say, well, he had tight coverage on that play. Safeties are generally helping in coverage, so I didn't see too many glaring breakdowns. I didn't see too many deep balls getting completed with him around, and he has exclusively worked with that group with McCourty, Revis, and then whoever else is the other, Browner mostly, has been the other corner. So I would say that it's his job to lose.
Yeah, but I actually wanted to respond to the previous email also, because I live in Los Angeles, so I won't have the Patriots preseason on my TV. But they have this thing called preseason pass at the NFL.
Yeah.
They actually, if it's not in the market region, then, and if it's not a nationally televised game, you can actually see it live.
Oh.
With
on your computer.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, preseason pass if you're really looking for a way to watch the games. Thank you, Balarco.
All right, Balarco.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Squeeze a couple more in. We've got a few minutes left. Some much needed energy as always from Chester in Portland. Curious what he's going to bring today. What's up, Chester?
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back, Eric. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Nice. Hey, just wanted to call in and chime in on Dan's call and that whole reference to, what's different since these championship days. You guys hit on it, but to me it's all defense, and namely secondary play, and I think that's why we're so excited. I mean, to get some veterans, and to speak to Christian's point on Browner, getting another veteran presence in there, I think just adds more excitement and more perception of stability there. To me, it carries right into offensive execution. I mean, you guys, I would hope would agree, but Brady's a completely different quarterback when he's got a strong defense behind him, namely a defense that can stop the pass late in the game. I just think the mentality is completely different, and that's something that I have high hopes for. Weapons or not, I just think Brady's going to have a different mentality when he's out there, knowing that he's got a defense backing him up. Now, 1A to me is the running game. Ridley's fumbling issue, to me, it just comes down to making the same damn mistakes, turning that back to the line. You know, to me, it's a contract year. This guy has got to change his persona. No more goofiness, no more onesies, no more of this BS. This guy's got to come out there, hit hard, go straight ahead. You know, if it's not working out, Steven Houston's my next hope to see, you know, some guy that can run between the tackles in that quote-unquote lead back position. But, you know, that to me is really summarizes the difference. I think back to the championship years, you know, we had an anchor at running back with a guy that's going to look at the defense and go after it, and we had a defense that was going to support Brady, and, you know, he's not fighting for his life out there with fourth quarter comeback after comeback, you know. Wanted to ask you guys real quick, you know, how did Will Smith look in OTAs and minicamp? I haven't heard too much chatter about him, but, you know, I'm hoping that he will add more pass rush, at least in a sub role. But how did he look overall?
Again, just no pads. You know, there's no contact.
Yeah.
So
it's really difficult.
The fact that he's out there, I mean, he's coming off a torn ACL too, but the fact that he's out there is a good sign.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, just no way of really analyzing that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, you guys made some comments on how some of these players coming off the injuries look like they had a nice burst, nice push, you know, easily, for instance, you know, pads and no pads.
In drills.
Did he seem like he was fluid, or did he seem like he was hobbling somewhat?
No, not hobbling. Okay. No, he looks right. he looks healthy to me. He said he was healthy when we talked to him. He said he's feeling good.
Good. Well, you know, I think these veteran role players are going to be a big step in the right direction. And
I think
that
was a good signing. I agree with you, Chester. I think that was a good sign.
They needed somebody. I mean, I would have preferred they get one of the bigger name guys, but they needed somebody.
Swing and miss, and he doesn't have anything left, and he doesn't even make it out of camp. But I think that's a good signing, a good risk to take. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I think the same can be said about Anderson at linebacker.
Anderson is strictly insurance. You need a veteran linebacker that can, you know, if one of those guys goes down, you need somebody to, you know, to fill in, and I think he's that guy. That was a good signing, too.
Okay. Good deal. Well, you know, high hopes, as always. Lastly, you know, I just wanted to ask you guys, you know, as you know, Ryan Allen's an Oregon kid. His folks stopped through my work yesterday. I run a restaurant here in Oregon, and they said, hey, we're going to pick him up tonight. You know, what's your schedule this week? And they said they're going to bring him in at some point this week. But, Bob, since it was Tuesday, I'd ask you guys, if there's one question that I should ask this kid, what do you think I should ask him? I mean, I got all kinds of things, but if there's one question that I could really ask him, what would you suggest in your opinion?
Ryan Allen. Question for Ryan Allen.
I don't have any questions for punters, but Eric, you're a kicker.
How do you occupy your time on the sideline?
All right. Yeah, that's a good question.
Talks to me a good amount of the time.
You can tell him that the PFW boys said hello, and then you can tell him who PFW is after that, because I'm sure he has no idea.
Yeah, nice. Well, I don't want to jinx the kid, get him on the show, you know. all right, cool. Well, you know, I'm excited to meet a player, obviously, and, you know, I just thought I'd run that by you guys to see what you had on that end. But, you know, that's all I got. Hope you guys have a good day.
Thanks, Chester.
All right, Chester, thanks for the call, as always.
Italy is out.
Yeah, they lost 6 minutes of injury time. They gave him every chance.
Yeah,
they put
a good push on too. They spent the entire time seemingly.
Yep. They sent Buffon, the goalie, on the other end too. They couldn't do it to try to.
Couldn't get
almost
it.
Like a power play.
Out.
I'm pretty sure there was some controversy there because there was a little thing saying that Italy was playing with 10 men, so there must have been a red card.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, Italy and England from that group are out. Costa Rica.
Good for the U.S.
Oof. That would seem to me to be a pretty good group right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
Italy,
I know,
England.
I know that, you know, only the United States was in the group of death. But, I mean, that looks like a pretty good group to me.
Yeah, there are some good groups. There are some tough groups.
No, those two teams being out bodes well for the U.S. if they can advance.
I mean, that's three different teams that have won the World Cup, right? Uruguay, England, and Italy have all won World
Cups.
Sure,
that's Italy's correct. Won it like a bunch. Like
four times.
Least, yeah, three or four. I was going to say
four
at least
times.
Three or four times.
Yep. England's won it, yep, Uruguay.
So, I mean, I don't know how many groups have more than three teams that have won it all. This is my, two cents of knowledge on the World Cup.
All right, we'll squeeze one more call in.
All right, yeah. Is
Paul,
it time already?
In Richmond, where we're going to be in August.
Oh, Paul,
I
hope you're seeing him no more.
Paul, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. I just want to say we're looking forward to you guys coming down to Richmond.
What do we do in Richmond? I mean, Paul knows because he goes there quite often. But what's there to do?
I
got
to see where we're
going to
be staying
time.
First.
Yeah, there's a ton to do on the river. I mean, it's a really cool place. I mean, if you like go tubing or rafting or something like that. I mean, the James goes right down through the city. So it was a ton to do there. There's a lot of really good local breweries as well, so a lot of good places popping up. So I don't know what days you guys are going to be here. I can't remember, but Thursday night there's a bar called Hardywood that does great local beers and has a ton of food trucks, which is just a great time and a great scene.
I believe Thursday is the game, right?
Yes,
Thursday night
is
the game, so we won't be able to do that.
Yeah, but there's a ton of other local breweries that are great, and it'll be fun down here.
The setup
for the field is last year I went to Patriots training camp and Skins training camp, and the setup in Foxborough is much better, so it'll be interesting to see. I think there'll be a ton of people here, and I think it might be a little bit hard to get close to the players in the field, but it's probably still worth the trip.
Okay.
You just bit that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the guy go crazy when it happened.
Some guy bit me, I'd go crazy too.
Kevin's referring to the World Cup again with Luis Suarez biting people.
These things happen.
But anyway, Paul, what was your you had another comment or a question?
No, that was it for today. I look forward to seeing you guys.
All right. Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there soon enough. Good to know.
All right.
Thanks, Paul. All right, before we leave, I've got one email I want to read because it's about Paul's health. This is from Mike in New Jersey. He says, a longtime listener, first time actually emailing. I heard on the show about Paul's diet, cholesterol, so I figured I'd comment as well. Another caller mentioned the fish oil and niacin combination helping him out. He mentioned not knowing what niacin was, so I figured I'd clarify that it is vitamin B3, which is nearly all multivitamins. About the cholesterol, there are two types, HDL and LDL. HDL is considered healthy because it will actually transfer cholesterol to the liver, and then the cholesterol is actually metabolized and excreted, whereas LDL, unhealthy cholesterol, is actually sent to the bloodstream and causes buildup in the arteries. Just wanted to provide some info. Hopefully some of it's news to you. Perhaps consider trying to increase your HDL levels. Ask your doctor about that and ways to do it if necessary. Also, you can do a search online for food suggestions. I don't think Paul's going to be changing much of his diet, though.
Well, I'm hoping not to.
Right.
I'm hoping not to.
I don't think you're going to have
to. Let's put it that way.
You try a little bit of the fish oil. Do that on a regular basis.
See what the numbers come out.
And
maybe
see what
the
numbers
aren't that bad.
You do it 6 months, right? You said you're going to go back in 6 months after you get these numbers?
Yeah, Sarah High School.
Did you say you weighed like 2 bills?
Yeah, like, a little more.
That's not bad at all.
A little more.
That's not bad. You weighed pretty. I'm like 203.
Yeah, I'm like 206.
And you're 6'3", right?
Almost 6'3".
Almost 6'3"?
Like probably 6'2 and a half. But he's not. I'm not that much taller than Paul. Paul's not like that short.
Yeah, I'm pretty short.
You're short?
Yeah. I'm like...
You're like 5'10".
5'9", 5'10".
Yeah, I get it.
5'9 and a half.
I guess. When I stand next to you, I guess I just don't realize it. He's such a larger-than-life personality.
Well, I also
I'm next to a celebrity.
I have, as Andy likes to point out, too, I have like the worst kind of weight, because it's all sort of like right in my midsection.
It's the spare tire, they call it, or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, we did have a lot of emails come in, and apologize for not getting to as many of them as we could. Paul's health was took
of
precedence.
The utmost importance.
But we do have another show on Thursday. Andy will be back, I think, for the whole thing.
Yeah, that's
Paul
the plan.
And I will be back. No Fred Kirsch. He's going to be setting up
preparing for Kirschapalooza.
A catered affair.
It is a catered affair.
On Friday. So we will see you noon Thursday.
Exactly the way you wish you could. I look good. I look good. Come on. I'm in love with a girl that I call old school. Sipping on my brandy.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.